Luckily, you can warm up every morning with a belly laugh with Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. But hurry, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. But it's only around for a limited time at participating restaurants. So grab one today.
After a massive bout of gastro. He's back, Dave Thornton.
Just listen to my voice, guys. I sound catwalk ready. I have lost some kegs.
I'm so jealous. Anyway, Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox, 12 minutes past 7.
Hey, we've all been on flights recently. Thorno just came back from London. We were Bali bound, Fev, all on planes.
Whoa, I went to Britain. Bali of Europe, guys. Bali of Europe. I got British belly on the way home. So.
You did.
Well, this Russian passenger has taken a video and uploaded it to social media, which has gone viral. He was posting, he's in the cabin on the plane, and he's watched one of the cabin crew pour a glass of champagne that obviously a passenger didn't drink back into the bottle.
Oh, that's going to economy, isn't it?
Now, admittedly, we all went, that's pretty cool. Like, that's one of those peek behind the curtains in a profession you don't know about. And apparently a few flight attendants have gotten very defensive about this, and rightly so, because apparently maybe the practice is that they pour them back into bottles and then dispose the bottle after the flight. Mm. So even though it looks like they're then pouring for the next flight people's used champagne, I think what they're doing is just putting it back in the bottle, sealing it, because you've got to do that for, you know, safety reasons, and then they throw the bottle out. Or do they?
No, no, they don't.
No, they don't.
They just drop it off on the Tiger flight to the Gold Coast. All right, guys, save this for schoolies.
But, you know, and I thought we could do this as a bit of fun. Sometimes, like, this is, there are things about jobs or professions you don't know. Like, there are little, shortcuts. There's the shorthand in a job that I think people would be fascinated by. Mm. Like, even the radio station, you know, people often say, ask us questions. And when we say to them, no, we don't pick the music. We have no control over the music. As if we play that song, we have a choice.
Wait, do you have a thing now? Because everyone always asks me, like, when are you on air? And I'm on air less than you guys. So I still sit with a 6 till 9, just out of shame, when I tell people how little I'm working. And then they're like, and do you hang around heaps afterwards to prepare?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, who knows when we're out the door?
I always say, oh, I usually get home about 12-ish, get to work about 4:30, so it's a full day.
Just blatant lying. But 131060, this is a bit of a profession confession. So what is it about, if that's a little cheat that flight attendants do, just gift drinks? I don't think it is. I'm backing flight attendants. I think they all toe the line and they do a good job.
Right.
But what, maybe you're in hospitality, maybe you're in retail, what are some hacks, peek behind the curtain,
I remember,
that we wouldn't know?
Restaurateurs in the past have admitted to this. They have their restaurant, and if two good looking people come in, apparently they will sit them in the front area so that it's kind of like a billboard for the restaurant, so the pretty people.
Is that why they put you at the back?
Okay.
Yes!
I set that up for Fev. 131060 with your profession confessions on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We were just talking about a video that went viral because a passenger took an Insta video of a flight attendant pouring an unused champagne glass back into the bottle. And it looked like maybe to pour into another person's glass. We don't know. Let's assume that they then just dispose of the bottle. But it is fun sometimes to get a peek behind the curtain in specific industries, whether it's, you know, mechanics or grocers, butchers. You never know what's going on behind, what they do with things behind the scenes. Sometimes you don't want to know,
right,
mind you. So we are doing a profession confession here. We might find out things we don't want to know. But Josh from Middle Park. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Fifi. How are you?
Yeah, really
and
well.
Dave.
Josh and Fev and Byron. And so
and
many
Fev,
names.
Yeah.
So many of us.
There's too many of you.
Yeah, well.
Some would say.
Some would say.
Well, Dave has been on the show since we came back for 2 minutes and got a shout out. We've been here for 2.5 days.
Oh, yeah, but I have been here for 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, there is that bit.
There is that bit.
Now, Josh, interpersonal squabbles on air aside, what profession do you work in?
I work in retail.
Oh, Joshy, and what's going on that we don't know about?
Well, you get quite a few nitpicky customers who come up to you and say, I want a new one of this, and it's the last one left out on the floor. Mm. So I'm like, I don't really want to lose a sale here because there's nothing wrong with it. So I just go back out the back, put it back in plastic, and go, here's a new one, rip it out of plastic, and it's the same old one that was there before.
That's great.
Actually, while I've got you, Josh, contradictory to what you just said, sometimes the only one left is the one on the mannequin, and I'll say, can I have the one on the mannequin? And apparently visual merchandising don't let you do that. Is that true? Am I being lied to?
Yeah, well, no, you can actually take it off, but they'd have to change the whole mannequin for you. Yeah.
Oh, so let's not put the mannequin out. let's lose the sale so the mannequin's happy.
Are you happy to trade your clothes, Fee?
Well,
just put that one on the mannequin.
I went to Bunnings this summer to buy a barbecue. It was like one of those little cream Weber sort of style things. Mm. And I said, yeah, we'll get that one. And the guy goes, yeah, I'll just go out the back and grab the box. I said, no, that one. I want the one on the floor because I don't know how to put it together.
Oh.
And I just want to put that in the back of my car. And he said, well, we're not allowed to do that. And I said, I'll pay full price for it. And it had a little bit of a scratch on it. And he goes, oh, we'll give you $100 off because it's got a scratch on it. We'll get one of the little minions out the back to whip up another one and you can just take it. Gold.
Bang.
I don't know what happened there. You see, you're getting one without the scratch, but you're getting $100 off it.
No, it had a scratch on it because it's on display.
Mm. Yeah.
But I didn't want to make it myself. So they just took it off the floor, which I'm not allowed to do.
Oh, I see. You got that one, yeah.
I was just like, just chuck it
out. I don't know that you should have mentioned Bunnings before you said that. Maybe just say hardware store.
Because they look after the customer.
Yeah, Bunnings do a great job.
They do a great job. I've seen all the ads.
And they've got great playgrounds.
They're always smiling.
I think what Fev got, though, I don't know that that's an offer that everyone gets all the time.
Katrina in Gisborne.
Why would you undermine?
Hi.
Just come along.
Yeah, don't undermine.
You undermined Dave, now you're doing it to me. What's wrong with you?
Katrina in Gisborne.
Just lost
Katrina, please save us. Katrina.
Bunnings have just withdrawn all their advertising, but continue.
Hi, Katrina.
Good morning.
Katrina, what industry do you work in?
I'm a flight attendant.
Oh,
great. Katrina, at least you didn't say Bunnings.
Can you shed light on this practice of possibly pouring drinks back into champagne bottles?
Oh, darling, we'd never want champagne. God. No, what we do with it, we don't pour it back into the bottle, but we use it with sugar and lemon juice on our hands. It's a fantastic exfoliator.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Anything else from your industry that we'd like to know?
Any white spirits that are left over, like gin or vodka, they're great to clean your jewellery.
Oh, hang on a second. These are all things that my auntie used to say when she'd empty the liquor cabinet. I'm just exfoliating, guys.
Thank you, Katrina.
Jess from Beverage. Hi, Jess.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Jess. It's profession confession time. Is there something you're prepared to share from your job?
I feel like mine could be a little bit worse than others, but I worked in a deli, and obviously you have your really rude customers that always want things fresh or just really plain rude and simple.
Byron.
Me and my best friend at the time that's working there, we used to, for instance, if they were to buy chicken breast, that's obviously it's quite heavy in the bag, we would put a little hole in the bottom of the bag so when they would lift their bag up that their product would fall out on the floor when they got home.
Wow.
Jeez.
That is great. Thank you, Jess.
I can't condone this.
No, we can't. And who knows, maybe profession confessions will roll on. Rob Sitch, a very good friend of the show, Rob Sitch, is joining us after the break. Of course, a director, a producer, a screenwriter, an actor, a comedian. I mean, he might have some behind the scenes.
Any of the characters from Utopia will definitely have some confessions to make.
Absolutely. That premieres tonight at 9 p.m. on ABC, and he'll join us after this.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Season 3 of Utopia premieres tonight, 9 p.m. on ABC and ABC iView.
Great night for that. It's cold day in Melbourne, winter night, 9 p.m. Watch season 3, and Rob Sitch is in the studio.
Fifi, you do know it involves actually sitting in front of a television.
Yeah, I know.
that old sort of Morse code world of a television.
Yes.
No, you can't illegally download it before it goes to air tonight. No. So I'm sorry to...
Yeah, that's a shame.
And it won't give you recommendations on what to watch at the end of it. It's a very old school program.
Yeah. You don't have to subscribe and like at the end.
You can't binge watch.
No,
you can't do that.
Box is used to Pirate Bay, so if it's not on there...
Oh. I get very... Yeah,
you can't hit the space bar to stop it, so you go...
Control-Alt-Delete.
I know. You're going to go way back tonight.
It's on ABC too. No ads. You don't have to wait for the skip button. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, I'm going to remonstrate with you. On the way in, I heard you use the phrase, you know the flaw with this segment? About those accents and things?
Yes.
I do that all the time. in walking around town, I hear an accent. I go, where are you from? Where are you from? Trying to nail down. Yeah. And sort of like even the micro stuff. So I've worked out that Glasgow is the A goes up and Inverness is the I goes down. And,
is that right? Yeah, no. They're that specific.
No, I'm very interesting human. Do you? Oh, I've got some hobbies.
Do you do the Australian one? Because it's when people, I was with someone recently and they said to the guy I was with, you're from Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, Pool. How did you know he was from Adelaide? Mm. And it was Pool. Did you just say Pool? Pool. Yes.
Yeah.
Pool.
Pool. Dance.
Castle, not castle.
Mel.
Yeah. You're good.
Like Canada, as you get up to the border, it goes Toronto. They don't.
Toronto.
The first O and ooh, the ooh becomes ooh.
Well, you brought this up, so I'm going to keep you here for a second because we were referring to our accent. We do a segment,
a
accents, real or fake. Rob, are you any good at one particular accent? Could we get an accent from Rob Sitch? What's your specialty?
I've only got one word, Scottish.
I reckon you're from Scotland.
I remind myself.
Correct.
Bang.
Scottish. You know that Scottish. I can listen to that all day. Scottish.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Faith, why don't you show off your skills to Rob?
Oh, I don't know what you, which particular accent.
You're so good at them.
Well that's true. You're an actor now.
Indian.
Well,
oh, wow.
Everything.
Hang on. Give me something to say.
Oh, but New Zealand's my favourite in the world.
Okay, I'll give you New Zealand.
No, here we go.
It's
just across the ditch.
Invercargill.
Invercargill.
You go over there and they clip their eyes. It's a rucks and fush and chups.
Yeah, there we go.
But it gets deeper as you get down to the
Is
south.
That right? Mm.
Rob, I know you're a guest. You... That wasn't brilliant.
Okay.
I've still got the Scottish in my head.
I'll do Scottish. You love Scottish. Yeah. I'll do Scottish. Give me something to say, Fev.
Say, let's play a song.
Let's play a song.
Oh.
Let's play a song now,
you
please.
You cannot improve on that.
Now, Utopia, on tonight, and we know, you know, season three, and I won't lie, Rob, you know that you've now got a number of thespians in the studio with you. And
how many?
Well, Dave's done some legitimate stuff. I am a legitimate Neighbours cast member.
So
Fev appeared in Neighbours too. Yeah.
Come on.
Channel 11.
Is there...
You're almost there.
My episode got put on a 10.
Yeah.
And then they went back to 11. Really?
On repeats. Yeah. You get there.
We could be like difficult clients.
Yeah, you could come in. Could... No, I could definitely write. We've made a few changes to Utopia this season. We've added an obstacle course. A ninja obstacle course just to juice it up. It's evolving. You'll notice some difference.
A little spike that night.
Yeah,
that should go well.
Good
stuff.
A little bit of backstory. You've got to be a rock climber now.
That's a real bombshell. Anyway, so that is season three of Utopia. Make sure you see it tonight, 9 p.m. on ABC and ABC iView.
Big shout out though in this season because you've got Dilruk Jayasinghe on.
Yes.
A good mate of mine.
Yes.
And he was, because I know you guys keep tight-lipped when you're filming and whatever, and when he could finally let us all know that he was on it, he was about to burst that kid. So I don't know when his birthday is, but it felt like you made it for him.
I think that's called Stockholm Syndrome.
No,
he takes someone hostage. Now, Luke McGregor went off on his global stand-up tour, and isn't this Australia? We replaced a red-headed McGregor with a Sri Lankan accountant.
Yeah. Mind you, he's very Australian. His last show was called Trawanka.
That's good.
And we've learned he could get elected to the Senate if no one's concentrating as well.
Good stuff. Well, we'll be keeping our eye out for all the talent tonight on Utopia. Rob Sitch, thanks for joining
us.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fev, we've been back from Bali for a few days and you, of course, had that incident where you lost your tooth.
Yes.
In Bali, that big front tooth.
My toothy
peg. Very obvious. And you must be shattered, but how's this? I know you've been missing that tooth, even though you've had it replaced. We have actually got your missing tooth, the one you lost in Bali, on the line. He's called in. Are you there, Fev's tooth?
He's talking to a tooth?
Yep.
Salamat Pagi kids, I'm still in Bali. Fev's fake tooth, front tooth is on tour.
Fev's fake front tooth, where exactly are you?
Okay, so let's have a bit of a recap. After Fev lost me on the night out, I'm not going to lie, initially I was a bit shattered. I mean, the time we'd spent together, like all the slabs of beer we'd drank, the pizzas we'd eaten, the nutty goreng we'd devoured, and that was only the night he lost me.
So what we've been wondering is, how did he lose you? What happened?
Okay, well, at first I was alone, okay? I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without Fev by my side.
Hang on, I think this is a song.
It's a song.
Oh, sorry, I'm listening to too many mega mixes blaring out of Paddy's Bar at the Kuta Nightclubs. That's right, guys, I'm at Kuta. This place is off the chain.
Well, what have you been doing there?
Oh, smashing a racks on the tuk-tuks. I'm out till dawn, guys. I got my tooth enamel braided, which is nice, and I'm wearing a Bing Tang mouth guard.
Don't you think you might be pushing it a bit?
Oh, are you serious? I used to live in Fev's mouth. With the stuff he put in there, I could survive nuclear fallout.
So are you planning on staying there long? Are you going to come home?
Oh, well, Fifi, to be honest, I'm missing the big fella's gob. I miss all the crap going in and out of it. So, I guess what I'm saying, big fella, is, Fevolution, will you take me back?
I've got you replaced, mate.
Well, this is awkward. He's got a new tooth.
Sorry, what?
You've been in there for 17 years, mate. It's time to part.
Oh, okay. Oh, you found some. Well, you know what? I'm still a Warwick Kappa needs a new tooth, mate. Surely someone will punch his out soon. It looks like me and the Wiz will be kicking it at sports night.
There he goes. Feb's tooth on the Fox.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nikki, sexologist and relationship expert. As a sexologist, I get asked a lot of questions.
When you look at the internet, what images do you look at?
Are we doing it right? Am I normal?
Figuring out whether I want other people in my life to know about this.
There's a lack of permission and education out there.
It depends on the connection you have with people.
Where there's so much information that's needed that here's a platform where I can say all the things that I can't say on air.
So I have one leg that's suspended off the ground.
So this is why I've started Sex and Life. Download me. Dr. Nikki with Sex and Life, podcast1.com.au and the Podcast One app.
Hey guys, this is a very exciting moment on the show because this is the first time in a long time we've had one of our great mates, somebody we love in this industry, one of the best television presenters in the world.
He's a lad.
I'm calling it, he's just one of the best. Larry Emda, welcome to the show.
Oh. Wow. Well, can I put that intro on my CV? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Larry, I personally miss you because a few years ago before I took this job, I was walking the corridors of Channel 7 quite frequently. No, I wasn't a cash cow. I was the weather girl. But, Larry, and not many people know this, I started my day with one of your hugs and my life has been missing those really bear-like hugs from Larry Emda first thing in the morning.
Well, if you didn't take out the AVO,
now, Larry, yesterday we just finished our show and we're in a production meeting and up popped my beautiful wife and my daughter Mia. You had them on your show this morning, which was which was very good, and they were pumping up. Mia's now the face of Runway Room, and Alex has got her Runway Room makeup and her academies, and you were interviewing them, and you showed a few pictures of me, which. weren't very flattering.
No.
Larry,
horrible.
Do you know what, Larry?
I'm surprised you're not already involved in legal action against your family and the Seven Network. They were horrible photos, mate.
They were horrible photos. And there was one certain photo of me running up a hill with no clothes on with one of my co-hosts, Byron Greg Cook.
Byron.
And you said this, mate.
He's streaked through Melbourne's botanical gardens, right?
Oh, he's so embarrassing. Brendan's absolutely loving his career now. He's working for Fox and they're number one, which is awesome. We're all, really happy. We're happy. We're a very happy family.
Well, if that gets you there, taking my front tooth out and streaking through the botanical gardens, it's marriage is in a happy place. That's a great thing.
Why don't you try that
I'm going to exactly do that.
Challenge is on, Larry.
Now, Larry... You said...
Sorry, the line's gone all crazy. I can't hear you.
Larry.
The line just dropped out.
You grew up near Bondi. You've probably been down the beach down there in your budgies. Now, I'm going to take you up on that. Let's do it together. I'll come to Sydney. I'm happy to run up anywhere in Sydney together with Byron.
Why am I involved?
Because you just hang on. Are you up for it, mate?
Sorry, I can't hear you. My one move, so we used to run a thing at Bondi Beach many years ago called the ITN Surf Club, which was the In the Nude Surf Club.
Yeah.
And
Larry.
I only went there once.
Didn't see that on Bondi Rescue.
Did you do it, Les?
I did it once, and it was so cold and miserable.
Did anyone swim between the flags, or were they...
I'm happy to come to you, mate. I'm happy to come to Sydney.
Yeah, now listen, I think that's a very valiant thing to do, and I would absolutely do that. But I'm pretty sure, and I'll run it by the Channel 7 solicitors, but I think it's against my contract. I think it's in my contract. I can't be nude, particularly with you.
Do you know what I love about this, Larry? Because it's true. It says a lot about the difference in radio and television contracts. Because our legal team and our boss has no problem with Fev running around naked. But see, the sensible Channel 7 legal, and I've worked with them before, of course, they don't want. Larry's Mr. Channel 7. They can't have him running around naked, Fev.
Mate. Now, you know what? With me, my contract is the naked bit would be all right, but it's taking my front tooth out.
Well, there we go. Larry, I mean, maybe Koshy's up for it, guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, he'd be up for sure.
It's Larry or nothing.
Laz, we love you. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, mate.
Love you guys.
See you, man.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I've stumbled upon a little parenting dilemma. Now, Fev, I'm turning to you, even you, Byron. Dave, you're yet to reach this, but you'll probably learn something through this as well.
What? You don't respect the opinion of a man who decided to take a 10-month-old on a 24-hour trip either way? Smart move, by Thorne.
And I am, in 131060, any parents listening, I need help. I'm beseeching you, please help me. Now, Trixie turned 4 a few months ago, and before she turned 4, she was as sort of a toddler. She didn't even really get into presents. So like Christmas, birthdays, you'll remember, Dave, remember her third birthday party? I wrapped up all her gifts and I didn't let her open them for a week because she didn't care about them. And I went, well, I'm not giving her presents she doesn't care about.
Yeah, that was a tad evil.
But what I was surprised at was she didn't get into it, but it's just kicked in.
Yes.
She's just understood the commercialism of life,
right.
And she's right into it. So she loves her baby. And we arrived in Bali, and and it's funny because I treated her a bit like a teenager before we left. We stood in the lounge room with the suitcases, and I said, "Now, Trix, is there anything you want to take? Because once we get to Bali, that's it." And she looked around the room, and I said, "You've definitely got the toys you want." Yep, and she had her two little puppy dog toys, and I'm like, cool. Anyway, we get to Bali day one. Mummy, I want my dolly, my baby.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't have it, darling, don't have it. And I thought, I'll let this go. And then it became 3 days of, I need a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. So I'm online Googling, and what I realised about Bali is not big on toy shops. Just not big. And then I eventually, wait.
No Toys R Us there in Denpasar.
Not down in Kuta. No one's getting out of Paddy's bar and saying, hey, I need a Power Ranger.
So my dad and I got dad involved, and one day I thought, right, we're just going to find a doll. So I asked somebody, one of the locals, I said, do you know a toy shop? Said, yep. Got in a taxi, and the taxi driver's like, yeah, I'll take you to this doll shop. Anyway, so we've driven. I'm not kidding, because traffic there is quite congested. It was probably an hour, and we turn up, and it wasn't a toy shop. It was a shop that made doll houses.
Oh, no.
So I'm looking at these doll houses. I've gone, no. I walked in. I said, excuse me, do you have dolls? No, no, we've got doll houses. No. So then we've gone an hour and a half.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, totally lost in translation. An hour and a half in the other direction, we finally turned up at a shopping mall where there was a toy shop.
There you go.
Went inside, got so excited. She got her baby doll, and then my dad made an error, and he saw they had My Little Ponies, and Dad wanted to just treat her because he's a grandfather, he's her opa, and he just bought her one of these little My Little Ponies. All good, gone back, we're enjoying the afternoon by the pool. And she was chatting with another little girl who mentioned that My Little Ponies, there's not just one My Little Pony, there's about 10 of them.
Oh, God.
No, fam.
So she wants the Melbourne Cup of My Little Ponies. She wants a line of all
24 of them.
They all went for a swim. I saw it on your Instagram.
You did. Well, and I'm glad you said all, because then I had another few days of morning that she'd wake up in the morning. Mummy, I need the whole set. I can't just have Princess Twilight Sparkle. I need Fluttershy. I need Pinkie Pie. I need Applejack. I'm like, oh, who are these ponies? So I, for the sake of having a good holiday, and I know there'll be parents that judge me right
now. You've created a monster.
I went back. I got the ponies.
Oh. Did you?
I hoped that would be the end of it. Now, I know, and I have had a close friend judge me already and say to me, you are creating a monster. That is not teaching. It's actually doing her a disservice. And I understand that, because I think when kids get everything, because my friend even said to me, but what's she got to look forward to? You've just now given her all the set. That's what Christmas is about, or birthdays. You look forward
correct.
To something.
Correct.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No,
that
I know.
Sounds like Alex.
But I'm not going to lie. And Fev, I think you're like me.
Yeah, I'm everything,
when
Dad.
When her little eyes get all teary and her little baby sweet voice gets involved, I got to buy it.
Yeah.
And this is genuinely, I've hit a mile, I've got through this parenting thing for 4 years and I think I'm doing okay. But I am asking Melbourne, please, what are the tips for making me stronger?
Okay.
How do I look at her and go, no,
I can't.
You don't need Princess Celestia.
I can't help you, Boxy, because I'm exactly you. I'm lucky I've got Alex there because they go to Alex first. And Alex is like, no, you got birthdays. Nothing's a surprise anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. Because if you get,
no,
you don't appreciate when you get for birthdays and Christmases and stuff. But I'm the one that goes and buys one of those fidget spinners at the servo and just takes it to them for nothing.
Yeah.
Dad, can I have that? Yes, you can. Can I get ice cream? Yes, you can.
Okay.
Because we're fun parents.
I know, but what if we make our adorable, beautiful little girls real brats one day? I don't want that to ever happen. And I'm asking, is there any gentle advice for me parenting moving forward?
The lines
well,
are open.
Says just give you a credit card. That's
the outcome. Yeah, our number. Mate,
you know that black Amex you got in your bag?
Okay.
get two of them.
We definitely need calls.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I just want tips, advice, because Trixie, having turned four, is really aware of consumerism and she wants things and she wants... And her little, it's the, you know what, if she was 14, because I just think when they're a teenager, you can look at them and go, no, get a job. But it's just as a four-year-old,
no, I do
she
it to
wants
Mia.
Something. And I go, so I've got to stem the flow. I have to get in quick and figure out how to do this and be happy because I don't want to be crying because I'm breaking my little girl's heart every day.
I know you just said then at 14 it stops. Mia's yeah. 17 and it's worse.
Really?
She gets those eyes and she's like, Dad, I need some money to go out. I'm like, well, get a job. And she's like, and I'm like, all right, how much do you
gives
want?
You that look.
You can't win.
What is going on when you're a son? None of this happens.
Don't you reckon?
So true. It's like all daughters, they need to get picked up. I'll pick you up. Sons are like, be home by midnight. But it's like, it's a 2-hour drive away. I don't care. Yeah. Just get home.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
Maria in Moonee Ponds. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Spiffy. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Maria. Faced with a bit of a dilemma, though, and I need to quickly get it in check.
Look, sorry to say this, but you're doomed, Fifi. My eldest son was addicted to Thomas the Tank Engine. We bought everything available under the sun. There was no way out of it. Every item that we saw Thomas related was his, and we became obsessed with his obsession. Books, clothes, you name it, we bought it. If it was something that was limited, we searched for it. So sorry to say this, you've got yourself... a bit of a gamble on your hands now.
Oh,
how's
boy.
He turned out, though, Maria? Where is he at now?
He's a train driver.
Now he's 13 and we've got a shitload of Thomas in our car.
There you go.
Is he a good kid, though? Is he okay?
No, he's a great kid and that's as far as we went. Thomas was the only obsession we sort of had. But, look... I don't know. You spoil your kids because you have to, right? So yeah.
I don't know if Maria's helping here.
She's
just telling
us.
You to buy even more My Little Ponies.
She's enabling me.
Yeah,
and
she's
I love
enabling.
It.
And the problem is, as soon as you say something, Dave, and you'll get this because you're 10 month old. Right. As soon as you say something and you go to get it and it's not there like you did,
yeah.
They've got memories like elephants. They bring it up every hour on the hour. Oh, we got with the slime with the glue.
Yeah.
I went to 5 different supermarkets because you've got to get the right PVA and they didn't have it because it's all sold out. We need to go to another one. We need to go to another one. I will get it tomorrow. I'll promise. As soon as I pick them up from school, bang, glue. And I'm like, come on. How do you not forget?
But each yes
you
that you've said before that is why they're behaving like that, though.
Can you imagine you and I trying to parent a child together? It would be disaster.
Mate,
we'd have to quit our jobs. We'd be running around Melbourne.
We'd have to work because it would cost a fortune.
Melissa and Narre Warren. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Fee. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Melissa. Now, Melissa, I've had a problem over in Bali. I did buy the set of My Little Ponies, and my friend who was with me has just reminded me that not only did I buy the big set, I then bought the little set.
Who was that?
I asked it, mate. Melissa, how do I stop doing this?
You have to stop or it'll keep going forever. Trust me.
And okay, if you've got any good tip, do you just suddenly harden up? Is there a strategy?
No. You have to teach Trixie the value of a dollar. Get her to start doing a few chores around the house to earn those few dollars to go and buy things that she wants.
Well, hang on a second. If Fee doesn't do any chores around the house, how can she show that Trixie?
She's the richest woman in Australia.
Come on.
You join the gardener out the front, see what he's doing.
She doesn't have a gardener. Oh, hang on, she does.
Go help the pool guy. Go help the chef.
Thank you. Good suggestion, Melissa. Could be a challenge to put it in practice.
Go up to Hellenic Republic and ask him some questions.
Thank you, Melissa. Amanda in Pakenham. Hi, Amanda.
Good morning.
Amanda, how do you toughen up and not give in to your kids and get them everything?
You need to just harden up and say no.
Okay, there we go. That's a more simple solution.
Geez, we wasted 15 minutes. Should have just said that at the start.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Hey, guys, Game of Thrones out on Monday. And we haven't talked about this.
Oh, yes. Can I tell you what happened?
No, I certainly don't.
Okay. Oh, haven't you seen it?
Funny. No,
oh,
you know
God,
I haven't.
It was best. John Snow.
Oh, you went, stop it.
Amazing.
Ha, ha, ha.
How did Ned Stark come back?
Yeah, but what?
Who?
Sorry?
No, now, you know full well that last year when season 6 came out, I was so, and I am so obsessed with the series to the point where a few years ago, during the series 5 airing of the show, Dave will recall I accidentally at 3 a.m. in the morning ended up on a website called Pirate Bay giving them my credit card details because I was hungry.
Yeah, like some would say.
Like bloodthirst.
Did you guys used to predict what was going on?
No,
she was listening to back then.
Mate, she just wanted them right there and right now. She's like, I want my Game of Thrones. So she's just, that's her thing.
And then remember,
I want the whole set. And then I want them all now.
And remember last year when the series was released and we were on holiday and I was in Fiji and I was streaming it, but I thought I was using the Wi-Fi, but I wasn't.
Oh,
and then I got the $500,000 Telstra bill.
That you fixed up?
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
To be honest.
Telstra, wonderful people.
Oh, I think that was HBO just hitting you up for everyone illegally downloading in Australia. We get $500,000 off of that, chick. Yeah, it's going to be worth it.
So this year, I made a decision when it was 7 episodes that because I love a binge. It's now how I consume television. I need it and I need it now like an addict. So I'm not doing this week by week. I will, when it's all completed and it's all aired, I will sit down. It'll be probably a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon and I will be enthralled. Yeah, I'm doing 6 hours straight and I can't wait.
It'll be about 5 hours, 40 minutes.
No, that's not right, because then we here have a conversational blue.
Yeah.
We all have to go, hey, did you? You can't say it. You can't say what happened last night. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So we all have to sit here.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks' time, we're all talking about it, whether you like it or not.
No, you're not. And
I haven't watched 6 yet, so.
Well, see, you're a bit behind. But you know what I can say about us here in the studio? We're all Game of Thrones fans, and we wear it like a badge of honour. Now, the thing about Game of Thrones is, let's be honest, and anyone listening who hasn't watched it, you know that people who like it are obsessed with it and they know a lot about it. So you can't actually watch Game of Thrones and not know things.
Right.
But funnily enough, I was going to say good friend of the show, but that's a blatant lie. Our Premier Dan Andrews.
Wow.
I had a beef with him back with the East West Link when he blew $60 billion of Australia. No, I think it was million, wasn't it? $60 million. I just wanted to make it sound worse. $60 million dollars when he tore up that contract when we could have just had less congested traffic. Mm. Thanks, Dan.
It would have been more than 60 mil. It was a lot.
Yeah, I reckon it was, Bill. Mm. Anyway, he blew a lot of cash and I've never forgiven him for it. So
Tell him what you really think.
I often do and then he don't think he likes me. But that's fine.
He's irrelevant anyway.
Thank you. Last night, I do want to draw attention to something we played on the project, and it was a press conference where there he is in his high-vis vest. Actually, why is he always in a high-vis vest?
Because he works a lot.
But he's the only politician. Is that his "I'm man of the people"? Look at me, I'm in a high-vis vest. Anyway,
Faith, stay focused. I know you've got lots of reasons.
He's trying to sneak into a concert.
Jesus, this is
sorry. Here he is at a press conference and someone happens to ask him about Game of Thrones. Now, this is that great moment. We all know we've been there when you've been asked something and you answer it and you're lying and then you go, how do I get out of this?
And from your favourite Game of Thrones character?
Well, I watched the first episode last night, actually. It was at a fairly late hour. I don't know. I don't know that I'll answer that, actually. It's a difficult one. I've got a few. Can I name a character? Oh, there's any number of different characters. I watched the series. I've watched every episode pretty well, including the one last night. What happened in the episode last night? Oh, sorry. Oh, spoiler. There you go. Spoiler. It's a good show. anyway, I won't spoil it for anybody. Jeez, thanks very much, everyone.
I'm tipping you couldn't spoil it if you wanted to, Dan. No, look, I just unfairly said a minute ago I thought he was lying. He may have watched it and had a mental
no, he didn't.
Blank. No, of course he didn't.
No,
I'm just covering myself in case he gets litigious.
Oh, who cares?
He has no idea.
No, that isn't that amazing?
That's
I gross. Have no idea. Jon Snow, Khaleesi, Cersei, Podrick. The names roll off the tongue when you're a fan.
Do you remember Malcolm Turnbull did the same thing? Because he's blue blood from Sydney, but because he's the Prime Minister, he's always like, oh, I love Australian rules football. And then someone like prodded him on it, and he's just like, oh, when they hit it over the net. And it's like, just say you don't know. No, just say.
10 to 9 on the Fox.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Great to have Thorn Diggity, Dave, back on the show after, a couple of days, actually, of, should we talk about it? It's a bit personal. I mean, you had some health.
No, horrific gastro.
And, sure.
That was no good. Because like I've been saying earlier in the show, I was in Britain, which is Bali of Europe. We all know that.
Yep.
And it was a scorching, consistent 19 degrees. Right. It was amazing. And we were there. We went right through the English Isle. We went up from Cambridge up to Northumbria. Now, I don't know where Northumbria really is. I didn't know it until Nikki said we're heading there. Every place sounds like somewhere from a fairy tale. Every place is Stamford upon Tyne, Quinford upon Ale. I never know what they are, but I was all up for it. So we decided to hire a car and go up north. In Cambridge, and I just booked it online about a week beforehand to get a station wagon because we're a family now.
Yes. No Mr. Bean cars anymore.
No, none of that. You need to transport a family.
Yes.
Wait, but he's still got his Festiva when he comes home.
Oh, sure. You didn't have to put that in there.
I didn't realise that was referred to as Mr. Bean cars. So this has been illuminating.
There's been a lot of discussions behind your back about your car.
Evidently. And I get there, and the guy can see me coming because he goes, you could do that. Or for £10 more a day, you can get a Jag. And I said, we're going to be mates. So I got a Jag. And Nikki's like,
a sedan Jag.
Yeah. Nikki's like, that's not really a good family car. I was like, shut up, sweetheart. You got the driver's side seat. I'm Austin Powers, all right? Or whatever crumpet he has next to him, whatever movie. So we're driving it. And I was going fine day one. I was killing it in that Jag. I was like, Austin Powers. I loved it. Day two, I decided to do a 3-point turn. Front guard got taken out.
Oh, no.
It was only a bit of a scratch. And then Nikki goes, did you get insurance? I said, what?
They'll get you if you don't have insurance. A little scratch on the alloys cost you about $5,000 if you don't have insurance.
And I distinctly remember the guy saying to me, do you want insurance? And I said, I'm good. And he goes, you're living dangerously, aren't you, mate? And I leaned across like I was Crocodile Dundee and gave him a wink like, you know it.
Oh.
This colonial boy's in town. Who knows what could happen? The rest of the trip with the Jag, we're going, hey, I was just going across it. Who knows? So I just go back to Europe car. And I had this girl who like didn't want to be there. She said, how was the trip? And I said, yeah, it's fine.
All right, car's all got petrol, does it?
And I went, yeah, it's got petrol in it, but I'm going to have to show you this. And she goes, oh, and walks out. I showed it to her. I said, that just popped up. That was my phrase because I didn't want to say it was my responsibility. She goes, oh, did you get insurance? I said, no, I didn't. That's £1,000.
Oh, Dave.
And I've gone, that's £1,000 for a scratch on the side of the car. Like, if I know it cost me £1,000 for just a scratch, I would have gone to town on that thing. I would have used it like a Dodgem car all down the M1.
That's why the car company is called Hertz, Dave.
Hey!
Oh, God, he's got it!
You can walk out on that. I mean, it's not Hertz, and it's certainly not any car company was in any way involved in any of that. We love all high car companies. We're out of here.
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up might make you laugh, but it's not going to warm you up. Luckily, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. Available for a limited time at participating restaurants.